Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Well, good morning, church, and we do welcome you into our worship service. We're glad to see you this morning. For those who are online, we welcome you in as well. Thank you for being with us today as we continue to navigate this pandemic, and we continue to ask you to be safe and to be smart as you go to work and are on the streets. Let's just continue to be safe and smart. Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. If you have your Bibles with you, feel free to turn with me there. If you want to hold one in your hands, the blue ones are the ones in English in front of you. It's behind me here in the church. It's on your screens already at home. Let's join together as we look at the Word of God. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Amen. Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you that we continue to hear your voice through it. We thank you that it continues to be our guide. It continues to be our light. I pray, God, that this morning your word would speak clearly to us, that we would hear your voice here in this place and not mine, that the Holy Spirit would be at work in our minds, in our hearts, especially in our souls, refreshing, restoring, changing us, that when we walk out those doors, we would be different. We would come just a little bit closer to reflecting the beauty and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, we, your children, have gathered here. We have come seeking your voice. We have come seeking your presence. Fill this place. Touch us in such a way that we would know that we have been in the presence of God Most High. So, Lord, here we are. Jesus, here we are. Holy Spirit, here we are. Speak to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, church, we continue to work our way through the Gospel of Luke in this Next Step series. As we've said the last couple of weeks, we went from restart in January into the next steps. We handed out those little mustard seeds, and what have we said? That every Sunday would be just a little bit of water sprinkled on that seed to help us kind of grow into that beautiful, flourishing plant that God would have us be. So we are walking our way through Luke for the simple reason that in the Gospel of Luke, you have a lot of one-on-one encounters. Sometimes here in Luke is where you get very intimate. You saw that last week with the leper, and now you're seeing it here with the paralytic. So without further ado, we jump into our text, and we're going to jump into it this way. I believe we have a picture to show you. This is 2003. For those of you who were in Miami at that point, you know that the Marlins made it to the World Series against the dreaded Yankees, right? The evil empire. And I was able to score myself some Game 5 tickets. I was in the nosebleed. I was like sitting on top of the lights, basically, right? Because here's a football stadium that was doubling as a baseball stadium. And so I got these really cheap tickets through a friend of a friend of a friend who did me a favor. And so here we are. I'm sitting way over there. But you see where the fireworks are. I was kind of under those fireworks over there somewhere, a little dot up there somewhere. And here's the thing. Before the game starts, you got these announcements going in the Jumbotron, and you hear a little bit of music playing, and people are, And there's kind of like this buzz, right? If you've been in a stadium before, when it's a playoff game, when it's against an important team, or there's something at stake here, you know that there's like a buzz. There's a certain electricity in the air, and people are waiting for that first pitch, and all the flash bulbs go off, and you kind of get a sense that something big is about to happen. Well, that's what's happening here in the text. Because what you have is Jesus sitting in someone's home. We're not sure who. We know that he's kind of around that Sea of Galilee still. And so this is a bigger home because there's a big crowd there. So you can imagine an old Galilean home, right? Kind of a big, long rectangle, has a pretty big open door, maybe round cutouts for windows on the side. And you have a big crowd milling around and milling along the side, probably out the back door also listening in from behind him. But now we know why there's energy in the air. Because if you look at the text, it says that Pharisees have come from basically all over the country. They came from Jerusalem. Luke is marking it for you so you understand the impact of what's happening here. Jerusalem is way down south. We are way in the north. It says Judea. Judea was basically the center part of the country. And then he notes Galilee, the northern part of the country where Jesus was from. So there you can kind of see, right? They're coming from that brown part there in the middle. You can see Jerusalem almost there. Look at Galilee all the way up top, off to the west, and there's the Sea of Galilee. So you have Pharisees from all of these areas that are coming, and it also says teachers of the law. In other words, the guys who spent their entire lives staring into the Old Testament, into the law, rewriting it. They were almost like scribes to a certain extent. So you had the best of the best. You had the experts coming to see Jesus. Why? Well, because now there's a little bit of a commotion with this guy. Now we've heard that maybe there was a miracle. Now we've heard about a catch of fish. And now we've heard something about a leper being healed. And it was confirmed by the priest in the synagogue in their particular little town. And now all of a sudden he's starting to say things. And the group is getting bigger and bigger. And people are coming from all different areas in order to see this man. So there's a bit of a buzz in the town that he's in. Everyone knows he's there. Everyone who could get close, who could get tickets to the great event is there. And of course, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, since they were the VIPs of the society, they would be sitting right up front. So in your mind, Jesus is here. There is space right up front for him, right? Social distancing. No, I'm kidding. There's a little bit of space right here up front for him. You have the Pharisees right up front. You have the teachers of the law. And then, obviously, whoever the home belonged to, maybe the neighbors, the people in that particular part of town, they're right there. And then out the door, there's the crowd. People peeking into the windows. You have little faces. And then behind Jesus, more people from the town are peeking in the back door. This is the environment that we're in. So then here's what happens. Let me show you another picture that we have for you to show you. There's a group of guys who get together. And one of them has, or maybe all of them, there's four, they're not identified, has a burden for one of their friends. It could be a family member who is paralyzed. So here's what they did with paralytics in that day. They put them in their bed. They grabbed all four corners. That's why we have the mat here behind me, so you can kind of get a sense of it, just a sense, right? And they would carry him to the edge of town where all the traffic was coming in and out of the town. There, the paralytic would probably throw a blanket in front of himself, and that's where people would pass by and maybe throw a coin or two, maybe throw a piece of bread at him, something. And then at the end of the day, he would wrap it up like the little sack that you put over here, or like a backpack, and then he would wait for his friends to come pick him up and take him back home. And then these four guys got together, and they had a friend huddle, right? The four of them, they get together, just like the picture you see behind me. They get together, and they're like, okay. And I hope you don't mind. I want to give the paralytic a name because I don't want to keep saying paralytic. So let's call him Stan, okay? So here, and one of them says, you know what? I can't take this anymore. My heart is breaking for Stan. You know, every single day we carry him to the edge of town. We leave him there like a bag of bricks. And then at the end of the day, we pick him up. We've got to do something. You know, I heard that there's somebody in town that might be special. Then one of the other guys speaks up and says, well, a couple of months ago, I heard that in a synagogue up in Nazareth somewhere where he's from up there, that he said something about fulfilling prophecy and they almost killed him because he said that like he was the Messiah. And they're like, what? He said that? He's the Messiah? How dare he say that? Then another guy pipes up in the friend huddle that we're having and says, well, hey, listen, I don't know, maybe it's the same guy, but I heard that there's this guy, Peter, right? He's a grumpy fisherman guy and his mother-in-law was sick with a fever. It was a bad one. A bad fever. You know, and Jesus went into the house and he healed her. Healed her from the fever? She's still alive? Yes. Whoa. He said, but here's the other thing. Weirdest thing ever. All of a sudden, You know, they say that this grumpy guy catches nothing, and then all of a sudden he comes in and his boat is sinking full of fish. I'm like, but I thought you said he didn't catch anything. No, but that's the thing. The carpenter guy gets in the boat, goes out with him, Phil's boat, another boat has to help him. They both come in, almost sinking to the... He said, that's impossible. Well, you could take it with a grain of salt. Okay, fine. And then the last guy says, but here's the thing. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, they said that he bumped into a leper. What do you mean by bump into a leper? Can you clarify that for us here in the friend huddle? Yes, of course. Well, this guy comes up to him, unclean, unclean. Everybody runs because we don't want to get sick. He grabbed the guy. What do you mean he grabbed the guy? That's impossible. Is he crazy? That has to be a lie. This is a lot of salt we're putting on these stories about this guy. No, that's him. That's it. And that's the guy who's here? Yeah, he's on the other side of town. It's like, well, all in favor of taking Stan, our friend the paralytic, to whoever this guy is, please raise your hands. And in the huddle, they all raise their hands. So they walk over, they grab Stan, and Stan is like, what are you guys doing? I'm here to pick up my food and my bread. Well, where are we going? Stan, today might be the day, my friend. Oh, come on, how many doctors and these miracle workers guys have come by and they've said their stuff and look at me, my legs don't work. Well, today we're gonna try it for you, Stan. We are taking you, whether you like it or not. So they, through town, here we go. All four corners, four guys. They arrive at the house. I've already set the scene for you. People outside, people in the windows, people out the back. There's a little space in front of Jesus. All the VIPs are sitting there. They're like, okay, crowd is too big. We can't get through. Second friend huddle. Okay, what now? Okay, so we'll get them on the roof. What do you mean on the roof? That doesn't work. We'll figure it out. So sometimes in Palestine, the houses work just like Doral, right? Houses are connected, townhome after townhome after townhome, right? Very little privacy. And there was a stairway at the edge of one of these little complexes, or you had an independent little house with its own little stairway combination, we're not told. So like, you know what? Let's go up top. Okay, this is a crazy idea, man, but we got Stan here with us. We're gonna take him up there. So here we go, up the stairways. This is not a comfortable stairway like you have in your office building. Okay, this is like a one-man kind of one-person little thing with no railing for safety. Okay, so we go up the stairways, and here's what they're facing now. Let me clue you in, because we just threw some pieces out just to give you an idea. Building in that time, kind of close, similar to now. You had big beams stretched across the top of the house. Then you had smaller slats crisscrossing to create a sense of a floor. And then you just went to your backyard or around the neighborhood, twigs, branches, palm trees, whatever you could find, and you tossed it on top of that. You had to get about 12 inches of this stuff. So a beam, slats, junk, 12 inches. Then after that, you went out to the side of town and you started to bring in dirt to solidify it. A foot of dirt, typically, mixed with mud to make a little bit of clay. You hoped that there was a hot, sunny day so it would kind of take, and you had a roof for a house. Homes in the ancient world always leaking, by the way, just in case you're wondering. You always had the little pots and pans catching the little drips. That's just part of the ancient world. Now, why did people do that to their second floors? Well, you needed extra space, just like we need our garages for extra junk, right? For those of you who have garages, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's full of junk. Your car barely fits in there, okay? And then sometimes you did your laundry up there, or sometimes you just gossiped because you were away from the buzz of the street. Streets were very, very narrow, and so you could talk to your neighbors across the top. That's why the Bible says, from the rooftops you will declare it. That's where the phrase comes from, because it would talk on the rooftops, the way that we talk over a cup of coffee, right? Us sophisticated people in the 21st century. So now they're up top, and they kind of, okay, what house is he in? They see the crowd below. Okay, so he's more or less right around here. So now you start digging. Break through the clay. Mind you, this is not their house. You're vandalizing someone else's property. Let's just make sure I'm setting a picture to make you understand something. They break through the clay. They're digging through dirt. They arrive at the palm trees, the twigs, and the stuff. Then they see the slats, and then they start clearing out the slats to create enough of a rectangle to lower Stan the paralytic through the hole. Let me pause there. We'll pause for a split second. These are true friends. This is friendship. This is biblical friendship love. They would not take no for an answer to bring their friend, what have I said a couple of times? Their space in front of Jesus. So now, you already know what I am about to ask you, don't you? What am I about to ask you, church? For those of you online, what am I about to ask you? How much do you truly love your friends? Because your answer to me is going to be, well, you know, I'm always there for them. I pick up the phone no matter what. I don't let it go to voicemail. I text them right back. You know, I always have a cup of coffee once a month with them. They were in a pinch and I gave them a little bit of money. You know, they needed a place. They stayed at my house. And I will say to you, you missed the mark completely. It's not friendship. Because if you look at Jesus' response to the action, it already clues you in on friendship. But we'll get there in a second. Let's draw a parallel. A loving God rips the roof off the world and sends his son through. His son arrives to save and cure all the spiritually paralyzed people that would respond and come to him. You've heard me say time and again in this church, you've heard me talk about the chain of salvation, that we are all links in a chain. Well, we should be. Let me back up and say it that way. We should be links in a chain. Let me present God's, and then I'll present us. God's love, link number one. God's love, number two, compels him to send his son. Link number three, his son comes. What did we say last week in front of the leper? I am willing. I will make you clean. That's link number three or four. Then you have the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Son. And then you have the Holy Spirit link, sanctifying those who are redeemed, preparing them for the great glory to come. Links in a chain of salvation. And now I bring it down to us.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.